Welcome to Sands, episode 20. I'm Jared Reimer. Email iMessage tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. Or call and leave a comment on the comment line at 888-405-7524. This Sands podcast is going to cover the Sands News Bite newsletter, which is the annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. This is for the newsletter for August 1st, 2025, volume 27, number 55. Here is the table of contents for this newsletter. If you would like a braille copy of the newsletter, you may send me an email and request one, and we will get it to you. Top of the news. Google Project Zero announces reporting transparency trial policy to shorten upstream patch gap. St. Paul, Minnesota calls on National Guard after distributed cyber attack. Apple updates and Microsoft's analysis of the Mac OS Spotlight vulnerability. Here is the rest of the news. U.S. Senate unanimously calls for release of 2022 Telco Security Report. Hackers are exploiting a critical flaw in WordPress theme. Dropbox to discontinue Password Manager in October. Orange Group Telco disrupted by cyber attack. Illumina will pay $9.8 million to settle False Claims Act allegations. Financially motivated threat actors use Raspberry Pi device to gain access to ATM network. And that is the end of the table of contents. And by the way, if you can use a computer like that, that definitely might be a very interesting problem. Let's now start with the top of the news. Google Project Zero announces reporting transparency trial policy to shorten upstream patch gap. Google Project Zero is testing a new reporting transparency policy aimed at improving the upstream patch gap, the period where an upstream vendor has a fix available, but downstream dependents, who are ultimately responsible for shipping fixes to users, haven't yet integrated it into their end product. Google's 90 plus 30 policy remains in place. Vendors will still have 90 days to address a reported vulnerability, and Google will wait 30 days after the patch has been released to report technical details of the issue. What is different is the early announcement of a vulnerability's existence. Google will announce that they have disclosed a vulnerability to a vendor within 10 days of that disclosure. No technical information will be included. Intended to help the downstream dependents be aware and anticipate a fix. Google has set up a transparency page which lists the vendor to whom the vulnerability was reported, the product, the date reported, the date on which the 90-day deadline expires, and whether or not the vendor has requested a grace period. Neely writes, increased transparency is good, so they can't state they were not informed. This process also tracks any extension requests. I hope this shortens the time to fix across the board. Note the issue number, not the flaw CVE, are what you can see. This would shorten the time adversaries are unsure who has products with a given flaw, making the active exploit versus released fix timing interesting. And I say, if this in fact makes sure that we can be more secure with Google products and services, then so be it. The problem we've got now with Android, anyhow, is that we know that Google releases updates, but whether vendors do seems to be unclear to me. One person I've talked to says they're pretty good about giving them their patches with that particular device. But others say they don't have any updates, and one even indicated while they weren't even able to put updates on the phone at the time, that there were updates available, but like I said, they weren't able to do it at that time. So, I guess we'll have to see what happens with this in the long term. But I honestly think this might be a step forward to get vendors to get in gear. St. Paul, Minnesota calls on National Guard after disruptive cyber attack. On Tuesday, July 29th, 2025, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signed an executive order activating the Minnesota National Guard to help the city of St. Paul recover from a cyber attack that took place on Friday, July 25th, noting that the magnitude and complexity of the cybersecurity incident have exceeded the city's response capability. The attack targeted critical systems and digital services, disrupting the city's services through the weekend while officials worked with Minnesota Information Technology Services and a third-party cybersecurity vendor to respond. The order authorizes the adjutant general to designate personnel, equipment, facilities, and resources, as well as procure goods and services to provide assistance paid for the general fund. St. Paul's website provides ongoing updates on the status of city services, 911 service, and recreation centers remain operational. Public libraries remain open, but public internet access, Wi-Fi printing, new library card account creation, and patron borrowing activity are unavailable. Online payments are unavailable, and water bill payments cannot yet be accepted in any form, but late fees will not be assessed while the system is offline. The city is aware of some fraudulent invoices since the attack and cautions residents against suspicious communications. Several email addresses and phone numbers for additional information and questions have been provided. St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter stated on Tuesday, July 29th, that the threat is ongoing and noted that the city defensively shut down its IT systems completely on Monday, July 28th. Carter emphasized his certainty that the attack was not an internal error, but a deliberate, targeted attack, and mentioned the possibility that city employees' data may have been stolen. And as I record this on the 7th, if I find any updates in any sources, I'll try and make sure they get blogged. As after I record this, we'll see if there's anything out there that can be posted that would be of value, since we haven't blogged as of late. With that being said, this is good news that they're not going to charge late fees and things of that sort for something people cannot do. But it goes back to common sense if it is proven that somebody clicked on something that gave the actors the foothold they need to be able to do what they did to the entire city. It goes back to basic hygiene of not clicking on things, looking at where links go, if at all possible, or just delete the email. Or, if it seems like it's believable, pick up the phone and ask questions. I always get emailed when something comes in from somebody saying, "Do I need to worry about this?" And most of the time I say, "This doesn't happen with our services." So, always reach out to your people to determine if there's really an issue. That's what I would recommend. Apple updates and Microsoft's analysis of the Mac OS Sploitlight vulnerability. Earlier this week, Apple released multiple updates to address nearly 90 vulnerabilities in Safari, iOS, iPadOS, macOS, watchOS, tvOS, and visionOS. Among the flaws fixed in the updates is a zero-day improper input validation vulnerability, CVE 2025-6558, that has been exploited to target Google Chrome users. In a separate story, Microsoft has published a blog describing a vulnerability, CVE 2025-31199, in Mac OS that could let attackers steal private data of files normally protected by Transparency, Consistent, and Control, TCC, that if exploited could let attackers bypass TCC and leak sensitive information cached by Apple Intelligence. Microsoft calls the vulnerability Sploitlight, and this is interesting because we don't exactly know how these things are named, so just be aware that this is something that you need to update, and I don't exactly know how this whole thing works. I read exactly what I read to you, so if you're not doing anything crazy, then maybe you'll be all right. So we'll definitely have to see what happens here. The rest of the news. U.S. Senate unanimously calls for release of 2022 Telco Security Report. On July 28, 2025, the U.S. Senate unanimously passed the Telecom Cybersecurity Transparency Act, which, if passed by the House and signed into law, would require, within 30 days of enactment, the full, unclassified release of a report investigating weaknesses in U.S. telecommunication companies' security prepared in 2022 for the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. Marcy McCarty, CISA's Public Affairs Director, stated the following day in communication with news sources that CISA intends to release the U.S. Telecommunications Insecurity Report 2022 that was developed but never released under the Biden administration in 2022 with proper clearance, netting CISA's role working with telecommunications companies before, during, and after Salt Typhoon, sharing timely threat intelligence, and providing technical support. Senator Ron Wyden, D. Oregon, who introduced the bill, illustrated the report's importance by citing a 2024 whistleblower report filed with the Federal Communications Commission alleging numerous incidents of successful unauthorized attempts to access the network user location data of communication service providers operating in the USA. And I say, why didn't this get done sooner? Maybe we would have been able to be aware of what got accessed and maybe be able to know how our data was even being tampered with to begin with. But some 3 years later, this is definitely something that I hope gets passed and we start to learn more about how bad it really was. Because Salt Typhoon and all of these actors can get away with so much, but yet there's no transparency on what's taken, when, and if we can do anything about it. This should be passed, and I hope it does. Hackers are exploiting a critical flaw in WordPress theme. A critical arbitrary file upload vulnerability in the Alone charity, a multi-purpose non-profit WordPress theme, is being actively exploited. The vulnerability was submitted to WordFriends on May 30th, 2025. The theme's developer released an update to address the vulnerability on June 16th, and WordFence disclosed the issue publicly on July 14th. WordFence writes, "Our records indicate that attackers started exploiting the issue on July 12th, 2025, before we disclosed the vulnerability. The WordFence firewall has already blocked over 120,900 exploit attempts targeting this vulnerability. The flaw affects all versions of Alone, up to and including 7.8.3. Users are urged to update to version 7.8.5 or later." I have never used any WordFence product, and I've seen talk in other newsletters about WordFence and vulnerabilities. Now, I'm not going to say don't use it. They seem to be a responsible company, releasing patches and making sure that they get pushed out. So as long as you keep that stuff up to date, you should be good. Dropbox to discontinued password manager in October. Earlier this week, Dropbox announced that its password manager, Dropbox Passwords, will be discontinued as of October 28th, 2025. The discontinuation will be managed in a gradual manner. Starting on August 28th, passwords in both the mobile app and the browser extension will be read-only and autofill will be deactivated. On September 11th, the mobile app will no longer function, and on October 28th, the service will be fully discontinued. Dropbox's announcement includes instructions for exporting information stored in Dropbox passwords to another application. Users are urged to move data before October 28, because at that time, all Dropbox passwords data will be permanently and securely deleted. I say that while I've not used Dropbox passwords, it seemed to me that it would be a good alternative for those who have Dropbox, because they already would have all that stuff. And from what they just said, there is an extension, but I don't know anything about it. It's too bad that they are discontinuing it because people find it of value. However, they are allowed to do what they feel is best. And if it's time to get rid of the app, meaning passwords, then I guess that's what they decided to do. I'm glad we were able to get the news out about this, so that if people do hear this and they aren't following SANS, then you are now notified of this particular action. Please make your selection on another password manager. There are several you can choose from, including LastPass, 1Password, and KeePass, just to name a few. So, check them all out and make the decision that is best for you. Orange Group telco disrupted by cyber attack. Orange Group, a French company serving as a major telecommunications provider for Europe and Africa, has published a notice disclosing a cyber attack discovered on Friday, July 25th, 2025. The company's teams and subsidiary Orange Cyber Defense immediately isolated affected services, also lodging a formal complaint and notifying and collaborating with relevant authorities. The notice warns of operational disruption due to the isolation measures affecting business customers, management services and platforms, and consumer services, primarily in France, but offers an anticipated restoration date for the main services of Wednesday, July 30th. Orange is notifying affected customers and notes that there has not been any evidence of data exfiltration. At time of this writing, the company has not confirmed restoration. The notice closes. For obvious security reasons, Orange will not provide further comments. And while I understand that, they should be transparent with their customers and provide information as best they can. And that's all we ask for, don't you think? Now, here's one that probably will go into the complete idiot department. Illumina will pay $9.8 million to settle False Claims Act allegations. U.S. biotech firm Illumina Incorporated has agreed to pay $9.8 million to settle allegations that the company sold government agencies genomic sequencing systems with software that had cybersecurity vulnerabilities without having an adequate security program and sufficient quality systems to identify and address those vulnerabilities. Specifically, the United States contended that Illumina knowingly failed to incorporate product cybersecurity in its software design, development, installation, and on-market monitoring, failed to properly support and resource personnel, systems, and processes tasked with product security, failed to adequately correct design features that introduced cybersecurity vulnerabilities in the genomic sequencing systems, and falsely represented that the software on the genomic sequencing systems adhered to cybersecurity standards. The False Claims Act allows the Justice Department, DOJ, to pursue claims against companies that violate the terms of their government contracts. In September 2023, a former senior executive at U.S. biotech firm Illumina failed a QUI TOM action under the whistleblowing provisions of the False Claims Act. The settlement resolves the lawsuit. And boy, they should be really forced to pay, because anyone who makes false claims shouldn't be in business anymore. And in my opinion, I don't know if $9.8 million is enough, but I guess we'll have to see. If I made that type of mistake, I wouldn't have a job, more than likely, unless I got a severe reprimand first. Holy smokes. Financially motivated threat actors use Raspberry Pi device to gain access to ATM network. Cybersecurity researchers from Group IB discovered a unique stealthy approach used by a financially motivated threat actor group to compromise critical banking infrastructure. Here we go again, right? Like the banking industry just hasn't learned anything. Specifically, Cyber threat actors known as UNC 2891, sounds familiar, were found to have connected a Raspberry Pi device to a network switch that was also connected to an ATM, which gave them access to the associated bank's internal network. Group IB writes, using the tiny shell backdoor, the attacker established an outbound command and control C2 channel via a dynamic DNS domain. This setup enabled continuous external access to the ATM network, completely bypassing perimeter firewalls and traditional network defenses. According to Group IB, UNC 2891 is a financially motivated threat actor known for its advanced intrusions targeting banking infrastructure. The group possesses deep technical expertise in Linux, Unix, and Oracle Solaris environments. And that is kind of bad. We'll have to see what happens, because we know that can't be good. The editorial board of Sans News Bites, Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elgi, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spitzner, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Valtronaut, William Hugh Murray. Sands Institute is located at 11200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. And that completes the reading for August 1st newsletter. We'll be back with another newsletter, and we'll keep as current as we possibly can. I'm Jared Reimer. Feel free to leave me your thoughts on this by sending me an email at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. Or you may leave a comment on the comment line at 888-405-7524. And until next time, I'm Jared Reimer saying thanks so much for listening. Make it a great day.